hard, heavy, and hell. Badass music for badass listeners.
Hey, this is Kimmy Hart.
This is Brian King.
This is Joe Padula.
And this is Antonio. And we're Reality Suite.
And you're listening to the Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show with Pariah Burke.
Reality Suite is a four-piece New Jersey hard rock band, making waves far beyond the Garden State. Although they have yet to tour outside the northeastern United States, they have fans all over the world. And that can be attributed to the fact that Reality Suite songs, and especially their music videos, are powerful messages wrapped in driving beats, blistering guitar solos, and catchy lyrics. Play any of their songs and you'll find yourself rocking out and singing along, long before you realize the lyrics are about you and people you care about. It's introspective, soul-minded lyrics woven into hard rock delivered by Kimmy Hart's smooth-as-top-shelf bourbon voice, the crunchy goodness, undulating riffs, and hypnotic solos of Joe Padula's guitar, Antonio Valenti's gorilla chest-pounding bass lines, and driving the other's passion up notch by notch while taking control of listeners' feet and raised fists is Brian King's drums. You've heard me play their music from time to time over the last 3 years on the Hard, Heavy, and Hair show, ever since I first became aware of Reality Suite with their 2018 self-released Awaken EP. I thought it was about time I sat down and talked with this dynamic quartet.
Become a Hard, Heavy, and Hair backstage VIP at patreon.com/pariahrocks.
That's okay. So I'm Pariah. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having us.
So I'm joined by Reality Suite. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves and your positions in the band?
Hi, I'm Kimmy Hart. I'm the lead singer of Reality Suite.
That's Joe.
Thank you.
Joe Padula.
That's Joe. Reality Suite guitar player.
We're just going to talk all over each other.
King.
Oh. I'm Brian King. I am the drummer of Reality Suite.
Are you?
I try. I'm still trying. I'm Antonio. I play bass.
It's true. He's still auditioning.
He's still working that out.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Are you also the sound man, Antonio?
I mean,
that's the problem.
Relatively. You get what you pay for.
Well, it's nice to meet you guys. I've been following your music for a few years.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome.
I've seen your name around for equal amount of time. You know, so it was very familiar when I heard from you.
Oh, thank you. So for people who don't know who you are, what's your music like?
Oh, I always get tripped up every time someone asks me this question because I'm like, what do we sound like? It's like rock. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say it's like a modern version of classic rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be perfect.
Yeah, arena rock.
Yeah.
Like a modern hair metal.
Yeah, hair metal.
Well,
a fusion of old and new.
Yeah, definitely.
Rock.
It's the continuation if rock and roll was as popular as it was in the 70s or the 70s, you know what I'm saying? Like if the popularity of rock at that time, we're still continuing today, instead of pop or rap or anything like that, this is what it would sound like.
Okay. Okay. I've played some of your songs on the Hard, Heavy, and Hair show, but for people who haven't heard the show, they might be well acquainted with some of the bands you've opened for, and that might help them put your sound in perspective. Can you tell us a little bit about who some of those bands were?
Vixen.
Trapped.
Yeah.
Trickster. Danger.
Also, with Phil Susan.
Ozzy
Osbourne's former bass player.
Yep. Yeah.
Have you heard Last in Line?
Yes.
With Boogie Campbell. Love their stuff, right?
Very good.
That's quite a few bands you've opened for. So who writes the songs?
We all do. Like
We outsource.
Collective.
Yeah. Phil Stamp and Campbell.
Send them out to India.
You know,
to
yes.
We're very good translators. Yeah.
But they're a little behind right now because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sad what's going on over there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's, like Kimmy said, it's totally, I can't get the word out. It's
organic?
Organic. Orgasmic and organic.
Collaborative.
That's the word. Collaborative.
It's galactic.
We all like feed off of each other. So like we'll put something on the Google Drive. Like anyone like has an idea, like they'll put a riff up, or I'll put like a melody or a snippet, or even all of us will throw stuff up on the drive. And like if we one of us gets it. Yeah, like then we throw up.
Numerous times I puked all over my computer.
So yeah, if we get inspired enough, we all throw up.
I've been so
band that parties together stays together kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I just thought about that emoji with the green. Oh, there you go. No, but like Kimmy said, that like there's stuff that Joe put on the drive a year and a half ago that I just rediscovered this week.
Yeah, that's how slow we are.
There's a lot of stuff up there that we haven't even
We're backlogged, so sometimes they don't always go in the recycle bin.
Yeah.
They'll sit on the drive for a little bit, and then it's almost like when that inspiration hits, and you're like, wait a second, that riff we can use now. You know, it's that type of thing.
Well, I once sent a cassette in the mail to Brian, and I think he just discovered it.
When he was 13, he sent me a cassette.
He just got it.
And it's still, it just got it.
Wait, really?
Got a great song out.
So the post office in New Jersey is just not
there. I can't tell sometimes if they're joking. Yeah,
the postal service is not serviceable. We still have Pony Express in that town, so
we're just servicing each other.
Yeah, and now I'm going to get hate mail from Jersey. Okay.
the New Jersey post office.
What?
No, I mean, the postal workers in New Jersey.
All right.
Yeah, so in about a year, I'll get that mail, that hate mail from there.
Yeah.
So some of your songs have some pretty powerful messages. Where do they come from?
Well, definitely a lot is based from real life experiences. It's drawn from like real emotions and like a lot of the things like I come up with, I write down in like, you know, like in my journal, and then like I'll go back to it and then put melodies to it and get inspired. And I don't know, just
And
depends on the song too, like
a lot of times, like there was a, sometimes we're inspired by fans that we interact with. Like there's a song called Blame It on Angels that was directly inspired. Well, some of the lyrics were inspired by one of our fans that was, you know, having issues at home. Her mother was bipolar. She committed suicide. And then she was having issues with her father. We did a video chat with her. You guys remember?
Yeah.
She was like a 14-year-old girl from Argentina. And, you know, she was in a funk. We video chatted with her. We kind of tried to support her, make her feel good and stuff. And that was about 3 years ago. I've kept in touch with her, but like Kimmy and I both wrote parts of that song. The parts that I wrote were directly inspired from her. Her situation, her lifestyle, totally moved me. You know, dealing with her again, like her mother was bipolar. She inherited the bipolar genes, so she had that as well. So, everything
Wow.
come up with is pretty deep.
Has she commented on the song?
I made sure that she heard it, and she was very touched by it. She's a survivor. She's still around. I think she's 18 now, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got a very unique lifestyle. I don't know how much to reveal because, you know, it's her story.
But that's the secret recipe. I once wrote lyrics. It's the most hated song ever.
We don't play it. It's that song on the cassette tape that never got to me.
But yeah, they're really like drawn from like deep emotions, deep feelings, like experiences that some of you can't even explain experiences like, but you know, and it's just amazing when people do reach out and be like, hey, like, thank you for writing this because like, I feel the same way. Like, thank you for like describing that emotion or capturing that in our song.
Yeah, it's the best feeling, getting that feedback from fans worldwide. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, no, you're not alone going through it. Like,
yeah. So how does that feel? Somebody comes up to you after your set and says, your song touched me. Your song made me feel not alone.
It keeps me going. Like, it keeps me writing because I know that I'm making a difference somewhere out there. Like so many artists have done for me, like growing up, that still to this day, like music just has moved me so much. It's just saved my life every day. So if I can do that for anyone else, then keep doing it.
Yeah, there's messages we get from supporters on social media, and there's certain days where like I'll screenshot it and I'll send it to the rest of the guys. And
yeah, it's
like,
a great thing.
Yeah, certain things they say that it's almost like you read that and you're like, wow, if we were to disband tomorrow and say, you know what, I'm not into this anymore, let's just call it quits, I would still feel like we accomplished something because we have these comments from these kids, people, adults from all around the world that are like, oh my God, you got me through such and such of a situation, or, you know, you were saying exactly how I felt and all stuff like that. You know, that's great when you can connect with somebody that you've never met from around the world. It's not like we're playing for our friends anymore, you know, for our relatives.
Well, that's amazing to be able to have that kind of reach and that kind of knowing you've made a difference.
It's a great thing, man. It really is.
Fantastic feeling. Yep.
So let's lighten it up a little bit. Where did Kiss the Ring come from? That's definitely.
We were watching The Godfather. And
Gene Simmons. It came from Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh my God. So wait, what happened with that? The chorus, you wrote the chorus and I wrote the verse.
Well, the great story about that is collaborativeness and lack of communication.
Yes. That's what happened. Okay.
Zoe had the riff and he put it on the drive. And we were in a situation where we had the Awaken EP, which was a 5-song EP. It was being picked up by a European label and they wanted a couple extra tracks. So for the first time, we actually had an agenda. We actually had to write a couple extra songs and we had a timeline. So Joey had, you know, like 2 riffs. He threw it on the drive. That was the one that both Kimmy and I gravitated towards. And it was literally like all over the course of like a day, a couple hours within a message. And I said, Joe, I got this awesome chorus.
We both wrote to the same.
Yeah. And
it became a cat fight.
We're like, mine's right.
We finished up. So, and Kimmy's like, that's great because I have a great verse. I was like, oh, great. It's like coming together like that. The term Kiss the Ring was something I heard a few times. I mean, obviously it's a popular phrase, but for whatever reason, I had never heard Kiss the Ring before.
And me neither.
Yeah, a couple of family members had said it. And ironically, somebody who I'd met in town had said, I'm not going to kiss the ring of these people. To me, the term Kiss the Ring is about, you know, nobody can tell me what's right. I got my own 2 eyes. I will not kiss the ring. You can't tell me how to live my life. You know, it's like keeping up with the Joneses. You know, I don't want to live that way. You can't tell me how to live, that type of thing. But anyway, so I said, I wrote a chorus. Kimmy says, I wrote the verse. We get down there and we both wrote to the same part of the song. And we were kind of like, well, I like my part. And she's like, well, I like my part. you know, it's like
a little biased.
It's like Reese's peanut butter cups, yeah. You know? You get chocolate, you get peanut butter.
Then we had to break it up. You know, I had to make some guitar chord changes.
And Gene Simmons enters the room. Yeah. And he says, folks, why don't you let me write the verse? No, I'm kidding.
No, first we sent Ant out for pizza.
Yeah, we sent Ant out for pizza.
And I got it.
Yeah, and he got
the pizza.
Got it.
No, what we did
by the time he came back, it was all written.
That's how the chorus A section and the B section came about. So the A section, which is the first half, is what I wrote. And then the second half, the chanty part that we opened the song with was what Kimmy wrote. And they just kind of blended together really well. And then the verses Kimmy came up with on the spot. It was like, just like amazing. It's like one of those rare times.
Yeah, I love when that happens. Like magic happens in the studio sometimes.
Yeah.
Like
when Aunt goes for pizza. When Aunt goes for pizza.
Not distracting us.
It fit like OJ's glove. It was like perfect.
Now on a side note, I do wanna mention that I didn't understand the meaning behind Kiss the Ring at the same level. I thought it was based on like a boxing fight, and you know, when you knock somebody out, they kiss the ring. Get it? That was my interpretation of the video.
It's a metaphor, like analogy.
Yeah.
But now that they explained that, I feel much better.
Thanks for joining the band, Ants. Welcome.
So is that where the video came from? Kimmy with you boxing?
Well, see, that clarified it. I mean, I thought it was something right. Apparently it wasn't.
Gene Simmons sent us a picture. And, that goes back like 4 or 5 years, right? We were going to shoot a video for a song called Conspire on our Skin album.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And we were going to do something.
Running on the street.
Yeah, we're going to do something with her, like training or something. And at that time, back in like 2016, we were going around looking at gyms or whatever. It just never worked out. And when it came time to do Kiss the Ring, I think we're kind of short on ideas, quite honestly. And we said, well, what about that idea of Kim in the gym? It kind of works. And Antonio said, I'm going to go out for pizza. And while he was out for pizza,
We came up with the plan.
No, but yeah. So yeah, it just made sense. It kind of like synergy. Just like, it's a good thing we didn't use that idea back then because this kind of worked.
Yeah.
Well, see, I was thinking when you told me that you both wrote to the same riff, I was thinking you two got in the boxing ring to work out who's the
you know what? That would have been funny in the video. If you were one of the boxers.
That's a great
No one would have gotten it, though. Why is he fighting the drummer?
Yeah. And what's Anthony doing?
Isn't that guy in the background.
They're fighting.
This is Joe. We really should do a video where we act with each other. That's a good idea.
That is a great idea.
We're gonna do a soap opera. That's it.
Real Musicians of New Jersey, something like that.
Yeah. Or...
kind of.
So, just for people who don't know, so you came out with your debut album Skin in 2015. Then your EP Awaken in 2018, which was kind of a greatest hits for you. And then you have the Awaken Deluxe Edition. What's the difference with Deluxe?
About 5 words, right? Or 5 letters.
Letters. Oh, okay.
That's the difference. No.
It's available on 8-track. That was the deluxe version.
Yeah. No, the EP was 2017, and that was
Hold on. Gene Simmons enters the room.
Gene Simmons enters the room.
It's all about marketing,
folks. I believe that you should.
I think that you should do something.
And he patented it. Anyway, so 2017, we released the EP, Dead to Me, Grave, Live Now Forever, all that stuff. Dead to Me was like the standout track at that point. And then we started to get some bites from some European labels. And we decided to go with Lions Pride Music. And like I said earlier, they wanted to re-release it on CD. So we wrote another 3 songs. We stuck like an acoustic version of Grave on there. We stuck like the clean edited versions of a couple of the other songs that had, you know, curses and stuff. So we kind of expanded it to 12 songs. And that's why it was called Deluxe.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the songs on there was a cover version. Why did you decide to do that particular song, Smashing Pumpkins, Bullet with Butterfly Wings?
Actually, we were on live. We had live on Instagram.
Yeah.
And we had just finished recording drums for Trick. Thank you.
Sorry. Line. I need my line, please.
I can speak.
Do you want to take that back to the top and try your lines again?
Yeah. Let me go get pizza. Hold on.
Yeah, bye.
All right, now we can talk.
No, so we had like everything set up after recording Drums for Triggers, and we're on Instagram Live, and we figured while we had everything set up, why don't we lay down a drum track for another song, like to record later on. So we did a poll and fans are just, you know,
throwing a bunch of songs out there.
And then that one came up and I was like, ooh, like I've had this on repeat for like the past like week or something. And it's just like with everything going on in the world, like I kind of do feel like a rat in a cage right now. So let's do it.
Yeah, it felt very appropriate.
So Ryan didn't even like
right there on the spot.
Yeah, right there on the spot. He heard the drums and then he did it. Like, and that's the take we had, right? Like, how many takes did you do? Two?
I think all of us collectively only did a couple passes at the song. Like, we none of us practiced it or memorized it or nothing. That was genuinely, I want to say heartfelt, you know, because we all really like that song, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like a dig on the song. It's not like just a simple song. It's such a fun song to do that it was worth doing. You know, it just felt comfortable to do.
We didn't have to crowbar it in. It was just like, we all felt it.
That's cool. And Kimmy, your vocals were a lot clearer than Billy Corgan's. The first time I heard that song years ago, I could have sworn he said, at Spider-Man's age, he's still just a rat in a cage.
Those are the best lyrics. Funny. When like you think you're saying something else like for years and you find out like what? That's what you're saying.
That's CCR, great. There's a bathroom on the right, you know. Mondegreens, they're called. I was talking to somebody about that. Actually, I was being interviewed on somebody's show just yesterday about that. So who are your influences?
Oh my God, I have a couple influences. Definitely Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless. Christina Aguilera. She's like, since I was young, I loved her.
She's an amazing vocalist.
Yeah, really is, I mean, her, wow, just what she does with her voice is incredible. So she's definitely an idol. But yeah, Lizzie Hale, she is definitely like, what she's doing is like everything. Like, she's just my inspiration.
Okay.
This is Joe.
From what I mean, goes way back. I mean, from Paige, you know, Frank Hannon, Satriani, Van Halen, Vito Bratta, White Lion. I mean, that style, you know, Slash, just it's rock and roll.
Yeah. I started with Peter Criss from Kiss, and I moved on to, I guess, as I got older, like Lars Ulrich from Metallica and Neil Peart. Tommy Lee, you know, that the powerful stuff.
What about Alex Van Halen? We're just talking about that.
Alex Van Halen.
He never made your list, huh?
Alex Van Halen, we were talking about last week. Mm-hmm. I never really got the Alex Van Halen phenomenon. I am ashamed to admit.
No.
But I'm waiting for somebody to clarify. But yeah, I came from, you know, like Tommy Lee, the more flashy, the Blas Elias from Slaughter, you know, that type of stuff.
Steel Panther.
And Ringo Starr, of course, Steel Panther, yeah. But yeah, stuff like that. From a songwriting perspective, big Beatles fan. Believe it or not, Rob Thomas, Matchbox 20. Bon Jovi, you know.
Meg Myers,
yeah.
I love her.
He's got a lot
of I love her so much.
Yeah.
Oh. He's got a lot more than that.
We're just
every song she writes is just...
Well, all right.
Bill Squire. Anyway, go ahead.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
So
he's not really.
I'm very inspired by Domino's pizza.
Are you making fun of me now?
No,
that was a stab at me.
I'm the pizza guy.
Bruno's down the street.
I'm the pizza guy. All right. No, seriously. I think, you know, with my influences for start out, definitely has to start out with Geddy Lee because he's so intricate and incredible on playing bass, obviously, and multi-talented in so many ways. Billy Sheehan, I think he's fantastic. I'm also a big fan of John Taylor, Duran Duran.
Oh yeah.
He's such a great bass player, and he was so underrated. That's like cool. not a lot of people look to him, but if you really dig in his bass playing, it's just so incredible. Paul McCartney, how melodic he was on bass. Sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was going to say Taylor was in. He really stood out in the Power Station.
Yes,
he really got to. You know, you got to hear the bass.
I love that. With that. I have like 4 or 5 copies of it sealed, open. Got like 12-inch single. Get it on. Like I'm a.
It's got broken records of them.
I'm not one Power Station enthusiast that you're going to meet in your lifetime. Anyway.
Probably true.
In modern stages, my favorite bass player right now is, you know, honestly, I don't know his name, but the band Royal Blood. And I'm not good with names for the modern bands, I'll be honest with you, but he's incredible. I mean, the idea that it's basically Royal Blood is a 2-man group, you know, drums and bass, but the bass player performs with pedals a split signal of a guitar and bass, you know, with a bass guitar.
Yeah, they're talented.
But the melodies that he creates and how solid, he's just so, it's righteous, man. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I really like Royal Blood. His name's Mike Kerr, by the way.
Kerr or Kerb?
Kerr, K-E-R-R.
Kerr, Mike Kerr. I'm going to remember that. I never talked to him, so I don't know.
I wonder if they sent him out for pizza, too.
I think he likes Hawaiian-style pizza.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's that.
He must be Colombian.
So if you guys could have a guest musician for a song, who would you pick? Or who would you most, pie in the sky, who would you most like to have guest on a Reality Suite song?
Vocally?
Whatever position, whatever instrument.
Well, 2 bass players would be ridiculous. It'd be like Spinal Tap.
So you would gladly sit it out for Geddy Lee?
I would definitely tap out if Geddy.
He's done it before.
No problem. Yeah, I've done it.
He's not used
to. It'd be cool to do something with Lindsey Sterling, but
That would be. She's right. Lindsey Sterling would be a fantastic catch. That'd be great. What? No, seriously. That's cool.
I mean, yeah, Lizzie Hale or Amy Lee.
Would you do it as a duet?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I think we would want Kruger.
So Chad
Kruger? Chad Kruger, that's it.
Nickelback.
Yeah. So we could be in Manchester one more time.
Brian, are you a Nickelback fan?
I really actually do like them, even though,
See, we're like, the band is split. Like,
I do not like
them. No, it's 3. I think Joe is.
I'm like this with them.
Oh, you're teetering now.
No, the thing is, I can't hear too many songs at once. Like, I got to put it aside.
Yeah.
But a couple songs, 2-3 songs, yeah, I could deal with that. It's cool.
I'm like that with the Beatles. I love their music. Their songwriting is amazing, but I can't sit down and listen to a whole Beatles record. But yeah, Nickelback, I wish I could play them more, but I can't play them on the show because, I mean, it's rare. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Makes people turn the dial.
What?
It's amazing. It's crazy, man.
They've got some good music, but.
They do.
Oh, well.
It's a great song. Oh, well.
There's a listener for everyone.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a total non sequitur, but I wanted to ask Kimmy, your stage pants, the ones that look like they're made completely out of straps. Where did you get those? Were they a custom creation? Or?
Secrets.
I actually found them in a boutique and a certain boutique where they only like carry certain amounts of the sizes. And then once they sell. And my buckle pants. Buckle pants. And it was so funny. Actually, I was shopping with a friend and she picks it up and she's like, I don't know what this is, but this is all you. So I was like, give me that. And like, I went to the dressing room to try it on and like, wow, that was a dilemma right there. But once I got them on, I couldn't get them off.
That's the most popular question on social media, what you just asked.
Right.
Really?
somebody, if not multiple people, when we post a photo of Kimmy in those pants, like, oh my God, where'd you get those pants? All that stuff.
I've actually said on the air when I first saw them, I just think they're one of the greatest stage outfits ever. Yeah. You know, though, they're just great. So kudos for finding those.
Yeah, I always go back to that boutique, like hoping to find like the next, what was like the glam. Glam. I think glam. It's in the mall. It's in the mall. Like it's just what? It's a boutique and they
clams and
they just have like all these unique outfits and they always have different things in, but once they sell out, then that's it. Like that's cool.
If you want to go ahead and give them an official plug, you know, what mall are they in? Maybe you'll get an endorsement from them.
Well, yeah, Google it. Google it.
We'll have to talk to them first. We'll definitely have to talk to them
clams
first.
And clams.
But you're probably right, though. You're probably right.
Yeah, Garden State Plaza Mall.
Is that where it is? Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Westfield.
Okay. Yeah, right. It is Westfield.
Okay. So what's next for you? Is there a new album in the works?
That's
a good segue. The final. Yes, acoustic foam. Is that Reality Suite branded acoustic foam?
Breaking on vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've heard
it. Get closer to there you go.
Yeah. Waking on vinyl. And this is a limited number pressing, as I understand, right?
That's correct.
Show them the vinyl. Show them the vinyl.
I know. Nice.
We have what?
Where's the vinyl?
It's not in there? Oh.
I store the vinyl outside of the jacket to avoid ring wear.
There's such a thing.
What is ring wear?
Oh, it's like ringworm, but it's different.
You know, like on the outside of the record, we see the actual imprint of the record.
Oh, it's white vinyl. Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Vinyl.
Yes.
This way, if you spill coffee on it, you'll know.
Oh, God.
That is really slick.
Yeah,
we were initially doing a signed poster for the first 100 people that pre-order it. But we actually got the posters in and we actually wound up getting more than we expected. So now we're going to offer a signed poster.
Hold on.
By the way, the vinyl is actually not, the vinyl is not really vinyl. It's actually white chocolate. So you can't eat it after listening.
Oh my God!
Wow.
So this
could
be a signed poster for everybody that pre-orders it. So.
Oh, very nice.
That is cool.
Where's the pizza?
What?
Where's the pizza in the poster?
Right?
Well, it's actually in the back. I need to make a phone call.
Is so salt pepper in there? Perfect.
So what do people have to do to get Awakened Deluxe on vinyl and the signed poster?
You must beg.
Send us pizza.
Send pizza.
Go to spinmeroundstore.com. That's spinmeroundstore.com. And find the link to pre-order. They actually have us on their banner. So you'll see the Awaken, you know, cover there.
Yeah.
And just click on it, pre-order. It's only $19.98. And I mean the cost, not the year. And it hits the streets on June 12th. But you know, right now we pre-order. There's been a lot of pre-orders, so we're not sure how much are going to be available as of June 12th.
Which so I'd like to jump in there. It's a great price considering that it is 180 gram. It's a 180 gram vinyl. So
it's like 140, 160.
What do you mean? It's 180.
No, is it?
Yeah, it's a high quality vinyl.
It says they didn't tell the drummer.
It's engraved. Yeah.
All right, so if people want that, they better get on it before you run out of copies.
Yeah, it's definitely limited. We don't have no more than what we have. So,
okay. Any dates coming up?
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the market.
You made it, Dominican girl.
Oh my God!
It's Snapchat, right? Is that?
So, anybody listening, Antonio can be found on OkCupid and Tinder.
And I am spam. So I will give you a runaround.
What are the live performance dates for?
June 12th at Spin Me Round Record Store for Record Day.
Record Store Day.
Which I'm so excited because that's going to be the first time we have performed live.
And it'll be the actual release date. Yeah.
14 months. Yeah.
That's in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
If you guys are in the tri-state area.
Yes.
Easton, Pennsylvania.
It's an exciting show. So, and then June 26th, we're doing the Queens Fest. Right? Queens Fest.
Queens, New York.
Which that's okay. Going to be super fun.
And then August, I forget the date, but August, we're playing in Poughkeepsie, New York at the Chance Theater,
yeah,
with Stars and Angel. So that'll be a great show. It's been postponed twice, so we're hoping it happens.
Yes, that was the last show we were supposed to do before everything got canceled and everything, the world went crazy. So.
The other two shows, like the record store is kind of, it's in a large, you know, social distance type, you know, it's a store.
It's a very large store. Imagine
3,000 square feet.
Yeah. It's huge. It was equivalent to like, you know, Tower Records. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, it's
about
huge.
The size of Tower Records.
Mm-hmm. And Queens Fest is outside, so you don't have to worry about anything like that. So the Chance obviously is a theater, so it's indoors. So we'll see what happens by August.
Yeah.
You know, everything should be opened up.
Well, I hope you get to play it. I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
And it's really cool to hear it. You're finally being able to get back on stage. And I'm sure they'll probably have to drag you off at the end of your set after 14 months.
They're not getting this off.
Again.
We're just going to keep playing until we fall.
Anything else you'd like to tell us or talk about?
Not really. I guess, the only other thing is that we are going to be, you know, after we play our certain shows, we're going to put our heads together and bring out some more music, you know, because that's what it's all about, is creating and having a good time and hoping to get more shows that we can play, you know, hopefully in the New York, New Jersey area, maybe even further out. Yeah.
Any thoughts of going on tour?
There's always a thought.
Yeah. That is my absolute dream.
Preferably other countries to make it more fun, you know. Where are you located?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Okay. We could play there too.
I would love to go to Oregon. Gone one
day. That's where CD Baby is based out of. You know CD Baby, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're based out of
Portland. Portland's a great rock scene. We've got Portugal the Man, Dan Reed Network, the Loyal Order, Black and Blue, and quite a few more. It's a great scene out here. Some good venues to play, and so far most of them are surviving the shutdown, which is really nice.
Because also I'm not sure what's going to be back around in this area, because I don't know if they're all. We'll see.
Well, I mean, you know, something has to happen. I mean, you know, once things open up, everything just opens up. I'm not too worried about it. Even if it's change of management, you know, things will definitely open up one way or another.
But that's true. The landscape has changed around here. There's been a lot of venues that have closed down in the past year.
A shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, out here, I guess most of their insurance policies, they had the force majeure clause on there. So, you know, government says shut down, so they don't have to pay rent or the insurance takes over.
Wow.
So they're able to survive.
That's
crazy. You know, they're still hurting, but
yeah, can we have that?
But yeah, when things open up, I think any kind of live music, people will be knocking down the doors. I will go see a 4-hour ukulele concert live.
I'm dying to go for, like, literally last year I said, I think I jinxed it. I'm so sorry for everyone. I was like, this year I'm going to go to the most concerts ever. And then, boom.
I blame Motley Crue for the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
They sign a contract in blood saying they'll never tour again. They announce a tour and the world shuts down and live music stops. So I blame Motley Crue.
I knew it.
It's their very fault. Good
Nick Mars. And now they postpone to 2022. Like, I can't plan my life that far out.
Yeah.
They're playing.
All right, well,
this year, right?
Yeah, they postponed it again.
Again?
Yeah, 2022.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry, man.
Eddie Trunk said it. It must be true.
Oh, man.
So anyhow.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me on the show. Thanks so much for your time. Reality Suite, thanks very much. And I wish you the best of luck with the upcoming live shows with the brand new, really slick looking white vinyl album for Awakened Deluxe.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
But wait, after the official end of the interview, the hilarity continued.
Before I let you guys go, could I get a radio ID from you?
Absolutely.
Sure. It's just the Hard, Heavy, and Hair show with Pariah Burke, however you want to put that.
Okay. I'm Kimmy Hart, and you're listening to the Hard, Heavy, Burke show.
Hard, Heavy, and Hair with Pariah Burke.
Have we? Lines, please.
We might write it on the pizza box. Hold on.
You're going to get the best blooper.
Wait.
Maybe you should get closer to the mic.
The hair, heavy.
The hard, heavy.
Hard, heavy hair.
Hard, heavy
Joe,
hair.
Joe, move the mic closer.
The hard, heavy hair, Joe. Wait, I'm saying that right.
Hold mic.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, of course it is. It's functional.
All right,
go ahead.
So I just sent a chat in the Zoom window.
Oh
yeah, perfect. Hard, heavy.
Oh, it just zoomed away. Where'd it go?
No, there it goes.
Hard, heavy, and hair show with Pariah Burke. Oh, okay. Sorry.
There's too many H's in there for her.
Yeah. All right, let's all introduce first. Hi, I'm Antonio.
Hi, this is Joe.
Hey, I'm Kimmy Hart.
Hey, this is Joe.
This is Brian.
No, okay.
All right.
Ready? Here we go. Okay. Take five.
Hey, this is Kimmy Hart.
This is Brian King.
This is Joe Padula.
And this is Antonio. And we're Reality Suite.
And you're listening to the Hard, Heavy, and Hair show with Pariah Burke.
Perfect. Thank you.
Antonio goes by one name, the last name.
Did everybody say last name?
Yes. Madonna, yeah.
That's all right.
I don't know.
Yeah, Prince. Like Madonna, Cher, Sting, you know, just Antonio.
Mariah.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
Yes, thank you.
We've been looking forward to it.
Yeah. Can I just say I love your hair?
Thank you.
The whole show, I'm just like, I love your hair.
Yeah, we all have hair envy.
I have a thing with hair. Yep. Like, I love lots of hair.
You have beautiful hair.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you don't mind a quick anecdote. Sure. So I started the woman I've been dating. We've been dating for 3 years. When we first went out, we're about a month in, and we go to one of these food cart areas where there's multiple food carts. She goes to one food cart to order something. I go to another. I order mine. And she's walking up to her food cart, and the woman in the cart leans out and goes, "Wow, you have beautiful hair." And my girlfriend goes, "Oh, he's behind me, isn't he?"
That is great.
Keep Hard, Heavy, and Hair commercial free by becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/PariahRocks.
If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
Remember, to hear the music discussed in this interview, stream the on-demand Hard, Heavy, and Hair show at PariahRocks.com.
That's PariahRocks.com.
Also hit PariahRocks.com to stream or listen on a radio station near you. The regular two-hour Hard, Heavy, and Hair show with me, Pariah Burke. Hard, Heavy, and Hair is your weekly dose of hard rock, heavy metal, and hair bands from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 20-teens, and today, including the latest new releases, your old favorites, and deep cuts and rare hair, along with rock news and trivia.
This has been a Pariah Burke production, copyright 2021, PariahRocks.com, the home of Hard, Heavy, and Hair. Send requests, fan mail, and nude photos to Hard, Heavy, and Hair on PariahRocks.com. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PariahRocks.